Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, he thought that moving would fix the problem, but you can't outrun something that knows your name.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Sure is, and if you have a real ghost story, we'd like to hear it. Leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. Remember, if you want to be a premium subscriber, you can. Sign up. You get no commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the archive. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon's here today. How you doing?
I'm good. I am still in Las Vegas. We're here for like a week, which is really
nobody
going
goes
time.
To Vegas for a week.
I don't, not that I ever have, but here we are. And I wanted to tell you two kind of little fun things. One is that I won $96.15 on a slot machine.
Congratulations on that. That's a lot of money for you and me.
For a slot machine. And the second thing is my son surprised me with tickets to go see Heart, the band.
Oh, my God.
I've never seen them before, so I'm really excited.
You will love them. They still got it.
You know,
they do.
I'm real excited. So I get those two things. But I wanted to tell you guys, last night, you know, when I don't know, sometimes you stay in hotel rooms, you have weird dreams. You just don't sleep quite the way you do at home and things. You know what I'm talking about. And last night, I had this dream, and it was one of those that's so real. It was just so vivid. I was in a church that I used to play the organ for, which, you guys, I know everybody's dying laughing that, you know, I used to play the organ at church, but I did.
But you did share a really spooky story about that the other night.
We have spooky stories all the time, and you can just... You just put the organ together with anything and it ups the creepiness amp, right? So I was up in the front of the church and I'm playing the organ. And I thought I was playing with a congregation for church, right? And then all of a sudden I look out and there are no people there. And I knew there had been people there. But there I am playing the organ in this old church that I used to go to and play the organ for. And I was like, what? Where'd the people all go? And so then I felt like something was really creepy. Something was really wrong. So I jump down from the organ and I go and I'm going down the center aisle of the church. And as I go, it gets harder and harder to walk. It's like I'm heavier and heavier, like the gravity's just pulling me down this aisle, so heavy. And I'm clawing my way to where I'm finally crawling. And I finally get out into the narthex area, you know, where the doors are to get out. And I bust out of this church and I'm looking at the house that I just moved from in Kansas, which was a parsonage for a church. It didn't go with this church, but I'm looking at it. And so I'm like, okay, there's my house. It's night. The lights are all on and I'm running towards it. And I thought, oh, thank God, I'm going to get to that house. And I trip and I'm running so hard and I trip and I fall down and I go to look up and there's this shadow figure standing in front of me. And he reaches down these shadow, he's just completely dark. And like, he's wearing like a hat of some sort, but he doesn't have a face or anything. And he reaches down and he puts his hands on me and he says, I have been waiting for you. And then he says, wait a minute. He says, oh, have I been waiting?
Oh,
and I woke up, you guys. I just woke right up and I sat up and I'm looking around trying to figure out where I am. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm in Las Vegas. And I just turned on the lights of my room and I turned on the HGTV to watch them redo a house.
I would have done the same thing.
And all, you know, and it's one of those weird dreams you have that all day long. I just keep seeing this shadow man. And he put his hands right on my shoulders like he was going to pick me up and take me. And said, I have been waiting for you. Oh, have I been waiting? And I was...
I think there's just this creepiness thing when he repeats it in a creepy, creepy way.
Right? And then, oh, like who says, oh?
you know, like, a predator?
Even when I woke up, I thought.
A demonic predator?
Even when I woke up, I thought, who says, oh? Have I been like, I'm scared shitless, but I thought that was such a weird way to say that. Like, I knew it didn't come from me because I wouldn't think that way. I wouldn't think, oh, have I?
Oh my God.
So I've just been like all day long, just kind of creeped out about that drink because it was one of those that was so real.
I know. And why it, I was and playing you the can't organ. Get rid of them.
And I was playing the organ and people were there. I was playing for church.
Because we were just talking the other day in an episode about you playing at church. So I wonder if that kind of was in your brain.
That kind of triggered it, you know. But then I look out and there are no people. And I was like, there were just all these people. Where are they? Like, no minister, no nothing. And I'm looking around, like, where did everybody go? And then I was like, oh, something bad must have happened. I got to get out of here. I feel something horrible. And man, I tell you, I just crawling down that nave aisle, getting out of that church. I was like, God.
Ew. Anyway, I don't like it. So tonight, when you go to bed, like, happy thoughts, happy thoughts. Get out your phone, look at pictures of your dog, whatever it takes.
I mean, I went straight to HGTV. I was like, I gotta have something else.
Ooh. Well, let's talk about a ghost story. And this starts out, I've had quite a few paranormal experiences over the years, but this one still gives me chills every time I think about it. I should start by saying that I've lived in 3 brand new houses in Northern California, all new builds. Nobody had ever lived in them before. First time anything strange happened was in our second house. Back then, my daughter was about 10. My son was about 8. My daughter's room was upstairs facing the street. One morning, I noticed she had scratches all over her legs, like long, thin marks that looked like they'd been made by fingernails. I asked her what happened and she said, I don't know, I woke up like this. At first I brushed it off. Kids get into weird stuff sometimes. Maybe it was the dog or she had scratched herself in her sleep. But it started happening again and again. She'd wake up with fresh scratches on her legs, arms, and even her back. Eventually, I had her start sleeping in our room with us. Just like that, the scratches stopped. I remember noticing that her room was always freezing cold no matter what the thermostat said. I couldn't shake the feeling that something was wrong with that space. After a while, we decided to sell the house and move into another brand new build, figuring that whatever was going on would stay behind, but that wasn't the case. Within a few months, things started up again. My daughter was 15 by this point. She came to me one night saying she didn't want to sleep alone. I told her she could ask her brother to stay with her. He did. But a couple of hours later, they both came running into our bedroom, pale as sheets, yelling that the bed had started shaking. I went in there right away, thinking maybe it was just an earthquake or something, but everything else in the room was still. There were no tremors, no sound, just the bed had been shaking. That was the first time I thought something might have followed us. Not long after that, I had an experience of my own that I still have trouble even talking about. One night, I was asleep on my stomach when I suddenly felt a heavy pressure on top of me, like someone was lying across my back holding me down. I couldn't move, couldn't breathe, and before I could even think, I felt something or someone try to violate me. Ooh, this got dark really, really fast. I wasn't ready for that. I snapped awake and yelled out, get the hell off of me, get out. Just like that, it was gone. The room went still again. I sat there shaking, trying to convince myself it was just a nightmare, but it felt very real. A few weeks later, my daughter came in the room crying. I asked her what was wrong, and she pointed to the corner of the room, said, there's a little boy crying. I looked where she was pointing, and there was nothing, but the look on her face, I'll never forget it. I didn't want to scare her more, so I stayed calm, but inside my stomach was twisted. A few months later, a friend of mine came to visit. She and her husband were in the neighborhood and stopped by. As soon as she walked into the house, she said, there is a really bad spirit in this house and I don't think I should be here. I asked what she meant. She told me she used to be a spiritual healer but had to stop because dark things started attaching themselves to her. She didn't want to go any further. I remember feeling this deep sense of dread, like I already really deep down knew she was right. We ended up moving about a year later, this time down to San Diego. I thought maybe that would be the end of it. For a while, things were fine. We stored some of our boxes at my in-law's place while we got settled into the new house. It was an older place built in the 40s, had a totally different energy than the new builds. Creaky floors, drafty windows. And one night, my daughter, now about 20, came in to me and asked, "Dad, did you take something from my room?" I said, "No." She said, "Remember that little boy from the other house?" I said, "Yeah, why?" She said, "I think he's back. Last night, he was in my room screaming, 'Where is it? Where did you hide it? I want it back.'" The next morning, I went straight to a nearby Catholic church and got a bottle of holy water. I blessed a room, started sprinkling it around the house every week. Things calmed down after that for a while. Then my son called me one night. He'd been staying at my in-law's place, sleeping in the garage where we had stored some of the boxes. "Dad," he said, "I just saw the boy. He was right in front of me. He said the same thing, 'Where is it?' And he was gone." He told me that he started praying out loud and whatever it was disappeared immediately. The next day, his girlfriend came over and he told her what happened. They started going through boxes trying to figure out what this thing could be looking for. They ended up finding an old dream catcher tucked into one of my daughter's drawers. The only thing left in there, it had been hanging in a room back in the third house, but not in the second one. His girlfriend said that she'd read somewhere that spirits can attach themselves to certain objects, especially things like dream catchers that are meant to catch energy. We never figured out if that's what the boy was after, but part of me believes it. My son burned it that night, and after that, seems like the activity has stopped for good. I don't know if the boy was attached to that dream catcher or to my daughter, but I do know this. We moved into three brand new homes that should have been completely free of spirits. So it makes me wonder, maybe it's not always about the house. Maybe it is what you bring with you. Thanks for letting me share my story. Thanks for keeping the show going. I listen every day. Keep up the great work. That's from Phil. See, I do think it can be things that you bring in. And in fact, as the story is going along, I'm like, If it was attached to the house, it would have stayed there. You know, because there's a reason why it wants the house. But, you know, if right. It's an object, there's a reason why it's going with you.
And what is kind of interesting, well, the whole story is interesting, but that no matter where they were going or the configuration of the family's arrangement, like the son was staying in a garage at the in-laws. Well, what would that have to do with the rest of the family over here, right? The daughter saw the little boy at the house, but the son also saw it.
Yeah.
So at the in-laws' garage. So it really does make me think it was more object related. And I think Bill's onto something here. It feels like it was looking for something. It tried to get it out of the girl. Artifacts from the house were over here. It goes there looking for it. They might have got it right. Apparently, after they burned the dream catcher, they haven't had any more trouble.
Yeah.
But it was funny when you were reading the story and the first thing that Bill said was that there were the scratches on the daughter. As you were reading that, I thought, oh, my first move would be to bring my daughter in with me for a little while just to see what happened. And that's what he did too.
Oh my God, like, you would want to protect her.
But, you know, a lot of times we hear these stories where the parents just don't believe the kid and they leave them in the room.
Well, and you hear that all the time, or the kid gets up and comes into mom or dad's room. I had this bad dream, or there's something in the corner watching me, and mom or dad are like, "Go back to bed."
Right.
And this poor kid is traumatized. And I get that, you know, sometimes kids play in what they really want is just to sleep, but I think you can tell.
Right. And, you know, I always think, what does it hurt to let them come in and kind of, you know, see if things settle down a little bit and maybe just calm them down and then try to put them back in their bed a night or two later or whatever. See how it goes.
You were always really good about if the kids fell asleep in your bed for every reason, any reason like that, once they fell asleep, you would put them back in their own bed.
So they always woke up in their bed in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, they may or may not remember coming in and sleeping with me for a while. But in a situation like this, had one of my kids been physically having scratches, I'd want to watch them. I'd want to see if something was going on, if they were scratching themselves in the night. Or, you know, you'd want to kind of see if you could figure out what was going on. And then, of course, nothing was happening. So, boy, and then, you know, he had an experience where something was laying on top of him, which was super, super creepy.
You know, but that could be, once again, paranormal, or it could be a sleep paralysis. Because, you know, I think that is a common sleep paralysis experience, actually.
Yeah, we have heard of you. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But
does this sort of thing, does paranormal activity bring on the sleep paralysis? It's a chicken and egg story, right? Like, which came first? I think whatever this was they were looking for, and I think they're sort of onto something, that somehow this entity wanted released from an object,
mm-hmm.
and could not seem to get that.
See, I had no idea that dream catchers worked that well.
Yep.
You know, there's so many kids that have them in their room, and you're like,
I want to say, well, they make them at church camp. They should let them know, right, that this is not.
And like you tell, you know, that if your kid has a bad dream and you put up the dream catcher, and anything bad's going to go in there, and you're setting them up.
It could have been something else, but yet that seemed to be the thing they burned, and then it's kind of seemed to
If you're going through a lot of just pretty basic stuff, and then it's like, there's a dream catcher, maybe it could be this.
And then that seemed to settle down. You know, I'm really glad for the family's sake that things have settled down, because that is just no way to live.
And you know, we so often, like you said, you know, go back to bed. The parents don't take it seriously. He took it so seriously that they moved more than once, like three times. They moved four times.
You. Yeah. Listen to your kids. You know, and I at first thought, well, maybe it's just the daughter that this thing is harassing. And maybe at first it was just the daughter. But then it was harassing everyone.
Well, we've got an interesting call, because this might be the first time you've ever heard a paranormal story about a ghost stripper.
What?
I have never heard a ghost stripper story, but you're about to hear one.
Oh, I'm excited.
Hi, my name is Cuddy. I'm a recent listener and a huge fan. I wanted to share a story about a place that I used to work. Up until a couple of years ago, I was a stripper, and one night I saw the ghost of a fellow stripper. I was getting off stage, and there's a little tiny hallway that really can only fit like two people that goes from the stage to the dressing room where we all get ready. And I was walking off. And when I was doing that, there was another woman who was walking on stage, and I'd never seen her before. She was absolutely gorgeous. She was tall. She was African-American. She had long black hair. Gorgeous. So, you know, didn't really think much of it until I go sit down at a vanity and start fixing my makeup. And then I hear the DJ over the speaker call a different girl to the stage. And we only had one girl at a time up there, so I thought that was strange, because there's nowhere else that this girl could have been going. The hallway leads right to the stage, so I thought that was strange. And then I don't know why, but something told me to turn around and look at the row of lockers that's in the dressing room for everyone to use. And as soon as I did, I noticed that taped to almost every single locker was a memorial picture of a girl that used to work there that died one night driving home in the rain from the club. And that picture was unmistakably of the dancer that I just saw. And I just felt my hands start shaking. So I went outside and sat for a few minutes, and one of the bouncers came out to smoke a cigarette. And I said, "Who is that girl on everyone's locker?" And he explained who she was, and it was very quiet. And then he just said, "Sometimes people say they've seen her." And then I just kind of stared at him to kind of communicate that I had seen her without actually having to say it. So yeah, that's my story, and I do plan to share more. Thanks. Bye.
See, I've never heard a ghost stripper story, and that's definitely a ghost stripper story.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like the way she explained it, there's just one hallway. She leaves the stage. The other girl goes on the stage, but it's not her. It's a different girl. Who did she just pass? Like,
right.
That was interesting.
But she didn't even know that girl.
Huh.
The only reason she suspected something was because when she sits down at her, you know, makeup table, vanity, whatever, and then has this compelling urge to turn around, she looks and she sees the picture of the memorial girl.
And it's her.
And it's her.
And I think if you worked, now, I don't know, I've never been a stripper, because I don't think anybody would pay me. I would go broke at any point in my life. But I think that turnover would be high, so it wouldn't be unusual walking down a hallway and seeing a girl go onto the stage you don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't think that would be surprising. But, right. You know, she really caught her eye because she's like, she was gorgeous. And yeah. And that's a competitive thing. And, you know, so I'm like, you're like, whoa, where'd this girl come from?
Well, and I'm also gonna, now I'm not trying to make assumptions, but I would assume she said she was beautiful. I'm saying she was younger, right? A little bit anyway, you know, let's say she's maybe 25, 35, you know, somewhere. And so that is a very unexpected point to lose your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering that maybe she doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And or, she just came back to work.
Could be. Or maybe, you know, I don't know what her life was like, but she might have had an unhappy life. And that was one place that brought her happiness, was at the club.
Could be. Or, you know, she just, went back to work.
Yeah.
You know, thinking that's what she's doing. Because obviously her life was cut very short in this accident. And the bouncer said other people see her.
That's interesting.
That, you know, yeah.
I've never heard a stripper ghost story.
I love it.
I do too. Well, if you have a ghost story, we would sure love to hear it. Now, if you want to call it in, you can leave us a voicemail. And that number is 855-853-4802. Write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like to become a premium subscriber, get advanced episodes, get access to the archive, no commercials, sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And from all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.